Wow. So,
welcome to episode 133 of Uncorked Gamers. I'm Dan.
And I'm Kurt.
Welcome back, Kurt.
Thank you, sir.
Let's talk about some games.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Are you so aggressive?
I've been feeling aggressive lately. What can I say? I've been working out a lot.
All right, let's start out with something silly and fun.
Great.
So, somewhat silly and fun. Okay. This person created a malware virus, right?
Oh, no.
A ransom device. Basically, oh. You know what those are?
No. Basically, no, I don't.
It's a scary world. It's a virus. Somebody goes, they lock out your computer, like all your files from your computer and stuff like that, so you can't really use it. And then usually it'll say something like, if you want to unlock your system, send so much money to this place.
Oh my gosh.
And they usually have pretty decent encryption on there, which makes it hard to get your files back, or at least corrupt your files if you try to do it or something like mm-hmm. that. So somebody basically created one of those where instead of asking you for money, it says, here's a game, get this score on this game.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a bullet hell game. It's a Toho game.
No.
Yeah. So
this is clever and diabolical as all hell. I like it.
Yeah, apparently this was a first encounter. The file was first released on the GitHub. The creator accidentally kind of released it, and it like exploded so much to a point that it infected his own computer.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was just kind of like a joke he created or something like that. It just kind of got out of control.
Hmm.
And so he, like, the next day he released the release code for it on GitHub, the release file that released all the people's computers and stuff like that. And people asked him, like, so, can you get the score? He's like, no. Hell no.
Yeah, a bullet hell is no joke, man. Especially if they, I'm guessing for a ransom, there would have to be a very high score on the game. What were they asking exactly as far as, like, points go? Is that listed?
Let's see here. No, it wasn't listed on the file, on the article. I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But,
So kind of like 1944-esque or whatever, just
no, those worse, games. Like, yeah, one of those, I guess one of those type of games, but like, you know, the Japanese versions of them.
Mm. So like a million times harder.
Yeah, like like 3 pixels to put your ship in when the wave of bullets are coming down.
Yeah, does get on my nerves a little bit. Although I play a lot of Isaac too, so that there's some of that involved.
Yeah, especially every new DLC they come out with, they keep making it more and more.
Bullet helly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new final boss in Afterbirth Plus is so bullet helly mixed with a teleportation like kind of like ability he has, and like it's kind of every boss melded into one, and it's just you pretty much have to be OP
okay.
like as you've ever been to get through it without dying with full health and stuff. I don't know how you do it with characters that have limited health like Keeper and the Loss and stuff,
right?
But you have to. You yeah. have to, and people have done it, and they are crazy people, and I've given up. I'm at peace with it now.
the platinum dreams are dead?
I think the platinum dream might be dead for Isaac for me. It's just too hard, man.
You're not going to try for the OG platinum? You can still get it.
Yeah, I guess I could get just regular platinum god. I don't see that being as big of an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely 1,001% or 10,000% or whatever that platinum is. It just takes too much consistency. Like, I'm going to have to play that game just nonstop for the next, like, year or whatever, put hundreds of hours into it to get to the point where I'm comfortable enough to take on those type of feats, those bosses, to actually get that over with. And I just don't know if I have the patience for it, honestly.
You're putting the Isaac down? You put it in the back?
That's my feeling at this moment. That might change, but that's my update with that.
Wow.
Because there's so much to play too. Like I don't want to waste my time with this stupid feat that doesn't really mean much. Because once you're done with that too, like you did it, great, you're cool. A lot of people are cool. A lot of people have done this. Then what do? Just play more of it, I guess.
And then you come over and do it on mic.
yeah. You would only hope so, but
Jeff was in that for a while, getting me that OG platinum.
Yeah, Jeff's crazy like that.
Yeah, he really liked that game.
Miss you, Jeff.
Miss you, buddy. The hat.
Moving on.
So you like that Breath of the Wild, huh?
It's been fun. It's been really good. I've actually been playing on I have it for the Wii U. And I've been playing on the gamepad.
Oh, like
sitting in my bed, you know, having the thing.
Yeah.
Just to get a little bit of a different experience with it. The past couple of times I've turned it on.
You're playing it with that Switch mode.
Basically, yeah. Switch fun. There is so much to do in that game. I know I've said that ad nauseum, but I just find myself getting onto a main path and thinking, okay, today I'm going to go to Gerudo Town, and I'm going to take this on, and I'm going to challenge the next, you know, divine beast and get that. And, oh, hey, what's over there? Right. That actually kind of fill out the map for you and stuff, which I think is something that I kind of want to do before I really get too far into the actual dungeons like that. Just get myself prepared, because like I said before, it's a tough game that I wasn't expecting was going to give me as much trouble as it actually has.
Now, I want to get your take on this, the amount you've played so far. I've heard a lot of people say, that because it doesn't have those Zelda dungeons, you know, like, this is where you get your boomerang, this is where you get your grappling hook, like, the previous Zelda games was the dungeon for the most part, right? Like,
sure.
The overworld map was just point A to point dungeon.
Yes, exactly.
And I hear that that's, like, one of the big detractors from Breath of the Wild. It's kind of like, because it doesn't have those big, like, dungeons designed for you to go and play and solve puzzles and stuff like that, the game is a little too samey.
Mm-hmm.
What are your impressions of that so far?
Well, what do you mean by samey, exactly?
I guess not as involved or something like that, or it's kind of too repetitive, maybe? Because from what I understand, they have the little dungeons, but they're kind of quick. And
they're called shrines. Yeah, shrines. And they're puzzle-based, sometimes combat-based little trials that allow you to get spirit orbs, which you use to increase your health or stamina at spirit statues. Once you get four of those orbs, you have to conquer four small shrines to actually get an increase in your health or your stamina gauge. Those are fun. I've been enjoying doing more of that, honestly, because it's kind of this quick little challenge where you can kind of, you know, get some an accomplished feeling out of it. If you can only turn it on for an hour or two at a time, like before I have to go to work or something, that's what I've been doing a lot of the time and stuff.
Yeah, like games with little things you can do.
Yeah. And that game is rich in those type of things. You know, just finding a new, like, tower, or these doing a couple shrines, finding a new village, or like even an NPC that have side quests, and just doing quick little things like that to kind of appease your need to play the game when you maybe don't have as much time to actually go and do a full main quest.
Right.
You know what I mean? But when it does come to the main quest, I've gotten through the first Divine Beast, you know, dungeon slash kind of Blight or Calamity Ganon boss fight. That was in Sora's Domain. That was a good one, definitely. The boss battle was challenging, fair, a little bit laggy. I think I did this maybe almost a couple weeks ago now, before the patch came out.
Okay.
The patch came out like maybe a couple days after I had completed it. And ever since it came out, I've noticed a definite decrease in the lagging on the game. So it does feel a little bit smoother. Surprisingly, on gamepad version, if you play not on your TV but you switch it over, way less lag. I guess just because, you know,
smaller
screen is more compact and stuff.
It is transferring it through wireless though, which
I guess it was a pretty decent patch, that must have been.
But
it's just like I said before, it's this huge game where it prides itself on being a game you spend, you know, 80 plus, maybe even closer to 100 hours in.
Yeah.
Just doing everything you can. Getting the Korok seeds, getting all the shrines, getting all your health, like, all upgraded all the way.
Do you miss side quests a dungeon yet? Like, do you play that game and you're like, man, I wish there was, like, a meaty dungeon to just dive into? And
I do a little bit, because the dungeons of old Zelda games had these kind of, you know, they have themes to them. They were very, like there was the forest and, you know,
the lava mountain one.
Yeah, exactly. Death mountains, like the fire temple.
The water one, everybody's favorite.
Yeah,
one.
The water temple from Ocarina of Time. It's great. But at least there was like a tone to it. All it had its own music. I mean, it feels like in these Divine Beast dungeons, it kind of all feels the same. It has that like kind of same like kind of melody that goes through as you're playing it. It's pretty short when it comes to like what you have to do. I mean, granted, I've only done one of them so far, and it was Varuta in the Zora's Domain area. But it felt, I got it done like in one sitting. Like, it didn't take me very long at all. The boss at the end, which was like, you get these things called the Blight of the Divine Beast, and it's a Ganon, like, infestation, manifestation, like, inside each of the divine beasts.
Okay.
Pretty tough. I'm not sure I was ready for it, but I think I had enough, you know, health-based increased potions and attack damage increased potions, as well as enough shock arrows and fire arrows to go through and actually take down this one, like, Blight of Ganon deal. It was fun. It was definitely, like, a cool new way. Because, you know, in the past, like, in Zelda temples, you find out that, like, let's take Jabu Jabu, for example, in Ocarina of Time. Like, you get the boomerang in the dungeon. You know when you go to that boss battle, that's going to be instrumental in taking down that boss. In this game, it's not the case.
Right.
You might get something that's kind of new and exciting. Like, oh, yeah, we got, like, shock arrows now. But it doesn't necessarily guarantee that that's going to help you defeat that boss. You pretty much have to just stock up your, like, inventory full of as many weapons as you can. Strong ones, hopefully. Get some decent gear. Enough food to heal yourself, because there's no, like, potions or anything.
Right.
You can get fairies. That's the thing still.
Oh, that's nice.
But then you have to, like, you know, save, go in, and just, you know, do your best to take it down as quick as possible. I've noticed that taking things down quickly in this game is pretty pivotal in extra defeating, you know, especially when it comes to, like, bosses or just bigger enemies in general that have more health. Because the more time you allow them to, like, phase into something else, the more powerful they get. And that gets a little bit, like, challenging and frustrating sometimes. The one cool thing is that, you know, if you go into the battle, exhaust all your consumables, like your attack up potions, all these different, like, elixirs and stuff you have, or break your weapons trying to kill this boss, when you die, those are saved. Like, they come back to your recent save and stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about going back out into the world, farming a bunch of, you know, new weapons and stuff, and coming back.
Farm a bunch of blood vials.
Yeah, that too. So it gives you that little crutch, which is nice. Anyway,
cool.
It just surprises me though, and I was going to bring this up too, because I had been researching some stuff for the pod earlier today, and, you know, lo and behold, people are speedrunning this already at this point.
Yeah, actually, I think since day one, people have been trying to speedrun this game.
Which is weird, because they hadn't even, maybe even necessarily... I mean, I guess if they had early access, they might have actually beat the game normally once through pretty fast, because they're seasoned players or whatever, or just...
I'm not even sure it's that, because I think people realize that you can just go straight to the end boss and beat the game.
Yeah.
People have been trying to do that, and just having... trying to figure out that balance between, like, how much can I not do of the game and still be strong enough to kill Ganon?
Right, exactly. I would say you have to go through on the Great Plateau when you're still, like, above kind of the main area of the game. I would say you probably still have to go through all the trials, getting all your, like...
Yeah, because you need to get that floaty thing to get down, right?
And that, too, yeah. So you have to at least do those, but I guess people have been speedrunning that part of the game by doing the bomb trial, like the bomb ability trial, before they do the Magnesis one. And there's this certain technique that people use, and I've watched Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time speedrunners do it too, where something about Zelda games where if you drop a bomb near a wall and do like this, like, kind of duck shield thing real fast, it'll plummet you through the wall. The fucking game, like, has a physics heart attack freak out spasm thing and, like, shoots you up into this area where you can kind of, like, hop and jump into, like, the end of the level. And apparently it works in most of those early shrines where you can get them done, like, really fast. And it can shave off anywhere between, like, 20 to 30 minutes of...
It's a big shave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even that, I mean, there's a lot other, like, techniques that people have been using, like... And it's developing every day, too, where people are changing, like, all these speedrunners on Twitch and, you know, what have you, are finding new ways. Some are getting outdated because of the patch and stuff like that. Like, one I was reading about earlier was saying how somebody was using, like, the shield surfing ability to, like, skip onto, like, different plateaus, getting higher to these places to find, like, specialty items or get to, like, a tower to fill up the map faster. Whereas before, you'd have to, like, upgrade your stamina wheel to climb all the way up that tower and stuff like that.
Right.
But they use these weird, like, shield surfing things. Which you have to access that at a certain point in the game that's a little bit further on, but I think you can just run to that area to meet the person that teaches you how to shield surf. And there's even, like, things like... Okay, so in that game, if you're accessing, like, the quick menu to change weapons or shields or bows or whatever you're changing between, you can actually choose to drop those items. And people will do, like, a thing where they jump off a high area that leads to something that's connected to it kind of laterally. They'll drop items and then freeze frame as they use the quick menu, and then use those dropped items that will actually freeze in the air and glitch out as stepping stones to get to higher areas.
What?
And, yeah. I watched a little video of it earlier, and it was just the most insane thing I've ever seen. I don't even know how people figure this thing out. Like, honestly, like, yeah. these type of things.
That's the technique that was used in Oblivion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I could, I mean, it makes sense, and I can definitely, like, when I watched it, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, a pretty cool lich.
That's the power of the, speedrunner form communities, like.
Right.
Like, helping each other out, and, like, showing tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess I overlooked that aspect of it too, and it's not these people that are like, because it's a very competitive thing, obviously everyone wants to get done faster, but at the same time it's something where it's like, it's competitive in a way where it's a community effort too, and they're like, okay, well, here's the tip, now let's see who can do it faster. Like,
yeah, and it's also like, if you're posting your best time, well, you have to post it in a way that anybody else can see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's got to be video evidence. Yeah. There's got to be, you know, I'm sure like on Twitch, like mod support, people like saying like, yes, I was actually there when he did this, it wasn't glitched out, it wasn't like a previously, like, you know.
Well, it depends on the run. It could be glitch, it could be a glitch out,
right? But yeah, it's just really interesting, like, how people I mean, it's one thing to speed run a game that's like an indie game like Isaac, where it's like the run's only gonna be half an hour anyway, so you can get it done in 10 minutes. Like, yeah, like there's definitely cheats in the game, but to do like on this giant, like, open world, like, beautiful game, and just kind of like, I don't know, in my opinion, I'm just kind of against it. Like,
yeah,
it's cool. Like, do what you want. Like, play how you want. Especially if you already played the game through and enjoyed it to its full extent, stuff like that. But to do it right out the gate, as soon as you buy your Switch and Breath of the Wild, and just only focus on kind of just the having that pedigree of like, I did this really fast. Like, it just kind of bastardizes the whole experience of it for me, honestly.
Got to get on that summer games done quick list.
I guess so.
And that's actually coming up pretty soon. I need to figure out what the exact data on that is, but they have the full release of games mm-hmm. they're going to be doing. But from watching speedruns,
yeah.
Because obviously I assume you saw a couple.
It was just clips. Mostly I didn't watch like full things.
But
yeah.
Like, seeing these techniques and stuff like that, I don't know if you've seen like any other speedruns in games that you play or are playing and stuff like that, but sometimes I see these, and I go back to play the game, and I'm just like, I could do this normal way, or I could just, I know there's a glitch here, or I know there's a way to move a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, it almost ruins it a little bit for me. Cause I'm like, well, if I just jump backwards and like do an attack at the right spot, I'll just jump like 50 feet instead of spending a minute walking those 50 feet.
It seems like in this game in particular, the only glitchy stuff is like what I kind of just described, like using the bomb technique on walls to get through, using the stone stepping thing with like dropping items. But as far as actually completed dungeons go, I think you just got to do it as fast as you possibly can. Like, I don't know if there's too much you can really do to kind of skip through parts, because they're puzzle based, where you have to activate nodes and things like that. So it's really all just about like,
just give it time. Yeah. They'll find the wall.
They will. There. I know they will. But I know people, because in this game too, there is like where you craft, there's a thing where you craft out of like food items and like monster parts, speed elixirs, attack boost elixirs, and that's obviously instrumental in like getting boss battles done quickly and stuff like that, or just run into a certain area really fast. You know, you pop one of those in like the Hyrule field or whatever and just run to your destination for the 5 minute duration that you have, and just keep on exhausting that stamina wheel. So that's obviously a technique too, which is cool because it's not glitchy, it's just something that the game like kind of almost like implores you to do a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, this makes you really fast, speedrunners. So that's kind of cool. But I guess so far, people that have been doing the all shrine speedruns, where they get all 200 and something shrines or whatever there is in the game, the fastest one is 11 hours.
That's actually pretty fast.
Yeah, for that many shrines it is.
Yeah.
That being said, it is with those glitches with the bombs and these different magnesis type things, where you pick up this giant plate with your magnet thing, set it on a certain area, drop a bomb on the same thing as you're standing on it, and it plops you up real high so you can get to basically the area you need to go.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't even describe it just because it's a video clip that I'm trying to like still wrap my head around a little bit, but it was pretty cool. Like, people have gotten really innovative with these new techniques and stuff.
Yeah, there's a, I remember I saw like a Kingdom Hearts glitch that involved like skipping the entire, I think it was for Kingdom Hearts 2, involved skipping the entire level by like casting a spell on yourself over, no, it was like using one of the sword arts, whatever, the Keyblade arts from mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts 2, and like you just kept using it, and it kept pushing you up the map.
Interesting.
So like, it's, I don't think you're technically glitching out the map, or like There's like a part of a map where you, and you can see the end part of the map, like way off in the distance, like above you. Okay. You're supposed to go through the level to get to it.
Yes.
But it was like using the momentum of this like Keyblade power to like just kind of just carry himself up.
Sure.
To that point.
Yeah, because when you use those kind of things in that game, you get very floaty.
Yeah.
You get very anime.
That's pretty interesting. So you're liking Breath of the Wild. You think this is a great direction for Zelda?
No, absolutely. I think it's
a great direction for the rest of the series?
Because I think the next game that...
The producer has suggested that the series will be open world from now on.
Okay. I can live with that, honestly. It wouldn't upset me if that's the direction they went. But I think in usual Nintendo / Zelda fashion... They're going to have to definitely change some things with the next couple installments because people will get sick of it. Especially because people are going to be playing the hell out of Breath of the Wild for the next few to several years until the next Zelda is released on the Switch and stuff. So if it's too much like Breath of the Wild, you're going to have your definite fanboys that buy it, but it might drop off. So they really need to like change the game again. Which they've always not had a problem doing. And it's fallen short here and there, but... I think they really nailed it with this game, and I'm excited to just continue to play it for as long as it takes me.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to rush it. Like, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they do another one, I think it'll won't be as big of a novelty thing. Like, mm-hmm. Like this is a big open world Zelda game, but I think that's part of the big like hype train was that like, this is a Zelda game that's a big open world, kind of like Wind Waker, but better. And,
but even more freedom.
Yeah, but even more. And more freedom because you're not stuck on a boat.
Yeah. The King of Red Lions.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wind Waker and speedruns, there's a new speedrunning glitch that people have discovered. Strictly for the Wii U version, actually. The HD remaster.
Okay.
Maybe not limited to the GameCube, but possibly. The article I read wasn't too in-depth about exactly how it gets done. And there wasn't, like, video clips attached to it or anything. But I guess it relies on changing certain inputs in the game to where at the end of the game, when you get to Hyrule Castle, you can blast through this barrier that's around Hyrule Castle to just skip past a bunch of the smaller boss battles and get straight into, like, the Ganon boss battle. And it saves you, like, easily, like, I think 30 to 35 minutes or something like that.
Wow.
Because if you've ever played that game,
not
that last... part getting into Hyrule Castle, going all the way through it, fighting the different like versions of Ganon until you finally get the end boss, it takes a while. Like it's a long, like slow process, as it should be. Like it's enjoyable, and every phase has its own kind of like caveat about it, and it's fun. But I guess there's like this thing you can do. I'm not even exactly sure what they mean by changing inputs, but maybe it's something to do with like the settings of the game. Yeah, but I guess that just surfaced, like, the other day. Somebody, like, found it. I read on IGN. So, Zelda speedrunning is alive and well, you guys.
Yeah.
And probably better than ever. Anyway. Moving on.
It's gotta be, like, an exciting thing for a speedrunner. It's like, there's a new glitch? What?
Yeah. And it's out there on those forums, like you were talking about, I'm sure.
Yeah. Project Scorpio, the new Xbox console, the techs have been released. The tech specs... I'll read this off real quick. It'll probably mean nothing to most of us. CPU, 8 custom x86 cores. GPU, 6 teraflops. That we already knew.
Teraflops?
Yeah. 2 more, I think, on the PS4 Pro. RAM is 12 gigabytes of GDDR5, which is pretty decent. I think the PS4 Pro might be at 8 or something like that.
Hmm.
So that's pretty hefty. The memory bandwidth is 326 gigabytes a second.
Wow.
It's vapor chamber cooling, whatever that means, and comes with a 1 terabyte hard drive. They write down that the CPU is about 30% faster than the Xbox One, and the GPU is 4.6 times more powerful. Apparently 4K should be able to run it. It's clearly stronger than the PS4 Pro. I don't think anybody was going to think that it wasn't going to be stronger than the PS4 Pro. I mean, they had an entire year or year and a half or something like that to try to do any quick minute changes if they wanted to.
Right.
Let's
be honest, that's their aim. They want to be stronger than Sony. Yeah.
The thing people are concerned about, though, is the price. Some analyst guys saying that with everything they're throwing in there, that thing's looking like a $650 PC price, right, for that type of tech.
Yeah.
And they're saying if they want to make profit on it, they're probably going to try to sell that thing at $700. Now, that guy's looking at it through the eye of like a PC distributor and stuff like that. And most PC distributors make profit on their systems. Whereas game development, generally speaking, except for Nintendo, don't mind taking a loss on their hardware sales. So, I mean, if it costs $650, like the guy's thinking, obviously they would get subsidies for producing X amount of quantity from X amount of people, stuff like that. So people are thinking it might be $500. Which, I mean, if they can nail $500, that's pretty close to the PS4 Pro. It's like $100 more for a straight up 4K system.
Right.
Your other question is, though, what games do they have to make people want to make that jump?
Agreed.
Right. I mean, they've shown Red Dead Redemption playing on 4K on the Xbox One. That's a pretty big deal for people.
Of course.
But with the loss of the last couple of games that got canceled and stuff like that, their confidence isn't as great. They're really looking at this E3 as like, all right, E3, show me those games.
Yeah, step up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what's gonna, you know, kind of tell the forecast of like the oncoming season of like when Scorpio is released is, you know, are people going to want to be spending this extra money on just this new thing because it's this new thing, kind of like related to the Switch, which just came out and stuff like that? Or are they just going to rather invest their money into like a PS4K or a PS4K Pro or whatever you have, you like for a little bit less money and still get good gameplay quality out of it? Because as we know, there's great titles that are exclusive to PlayStation 2 that people already know well about, have had the reviews out, and they feel like it's worth dipping into their wallet to actually get those things. Right. And not just hoping that Scorpio has something that's going to be nice.
Because I know Xbox has Cuphead, but Cuphead's not going to be like a 4K game. Like,
you right,
know?
Exactly. Cuphead looks awesome, too.
Cuphead does look awesome. Well, it looked awesome. They keep adding more and more stuff, and people keep becoming more and more disillusioned with the final product of that game.
Okay. I haven't kept up too much with it, but
it's not just boss battles anymore. Apparently they're adding like levels and overworld map, and people are like, platforming. No. Yeah, like I just want boss battles. Like, right. Stop adding all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
So, Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, that just died on me.
Uh-oh.
The Lost Legacy, the new DLC, or standalone DLC, because you don't have to own the original game. It's coming out in August.
Mm-hmm.
August 22nd, $40.
Wow. Giving a little time from this whole spring 2017 blunderbuss of awesome games. Let people finish up some stuff before a big thing drops.
Right.
There's too much to play right now.
I just read something. Apparently, if you pre-order the Lost Legacy at certain retailers, you get a digital copy of Jak and Dexter Precursor for PS4 for free.
Okay. That'll be a nice little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I believe this is probably the HD remaster one that just came out.
God, those were good games too.
Actually, I only played the first one, not even all that much. I played it at a friend's house, but it was pretty good.
I played one and two.
Yeah.
Both really fun.
That was a weird franchise, because like each game that came out was like so markedly different from the one before as far as style and like mode.
That felt cool.
Very though. Like platformy and colorful and like, you know, fun. And then like he grew older and he became like very angry and angsty.
Right. Yeah. Two was like the teenage Jak and Dexter.
Yeah.
like,
and then it's like I'm using guns now.
Like grunge Jak and Dexter.
I got a goatee.
He was listening to Nirvana.
He's just walking around, rape me.
Yeah, oh, man.
Jak, I don't know what's going on with you, man. Rape me, my friend.
I'm no. Yoked!
Yeah, he did become, like, super ripped, too.
Yeah.
That's
cool, though. That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice little inclusion.
Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 3.
Okay.
Getting open beta April 21st through the 24th.
I'm sure people are excited about it.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Never dive into it too much.
It's a real-time strategy.
Warhammer is it not a board game also?
It's a tabletop game. You have like a shit ton of money.
Right. Yeah.
Our friend Mr. Cass apparently is getting into it.
Oh, yes. Now, he has a podcast too.
Yeah, he does. Was it Future Flicks?
Future Flicks.
Go check out Future Flicks with Mr. Cass.
Billiam Cass.
There you go. He talks about all the upcoming movies.
He actually did a recent review of Your Name.
Ah, nice.
That we were just talking about before the pod started. Which I actually have yet to check it out, but I might download that and show him a little love.
Yeah, listen to some of it. He does a fair amount of research, and he has a much cleaner sounding podcast than ours. He takes like a week to edit and make his podcast sound nice.
He's not rushing it out on a weekly basis. He's kind of when he feels like it.
It's also affiliated with a group. Somewhat Nerdy, I think, is the group.
Oh, good. Okay, so he's got like a team.
Yeah, he's got like a team, yeah.
Yeah.
They do other podcasts that he's part of and stuff like that.
Sweet.
Yeah, if he wants to throw a bone and get some gaming podcasts involved in that, you know. Just saying, Mr. Billiam. We ready.
We ready.
Anyway, so the open beta, it's, let's see here. It's going to let you try out Space Marines, the Eldar, and the Orcs. And apparently this was a thing that people weren't sure was going to happen, stuff like that. But I'm excited for it. I played the first one and a couple of the Dawn of War ones, and they're as far as real-time strategy games, they're probably some of the best that are out right now. I mean, it's not a huge market as like it used to be back in the Command and Conquer and StarCraft days and stuff like that.
Great, yes.
But like, it's probably one of the better ones that it's coming out consistently. So definitely, if you're into those older games, check out the Warhammer ones. It's a little bit closer to StarCraft than is Command and Conquer, but I think it has a nice balance. And, you know, it's fun, too, because it's, like, humans versus, like, giant demonic creatures and orcs, and it's kind of, like, all futuristic.
Gotcha.
And there's orcs.
Interesting. So it's, like, a blend of
new and old. Kind of like a blend, yeah. It's pretty good. I don't know. It's fun. I like it.
Right on.
I think the...
That's good for those people, then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm being, like, really dismissive of it. I'm just like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Warhammer.
Next topic.
Sorry.
This is a very interesting little news tidbit. This is a pre-order bundle that's coming out in Japan.
Okay.
I'll describe the overall box first before I get to the thing. This is for Dragon Quest XI. It's called the Dragon Quest XI Double Pack Hero Sword Box, because Japanese love their long names.
They do.
So it's a.
I love them.
So the game itself is going to come in a hollowed out book style case. So it's going to be like a little book you open up, and there's the actual game cartridge inside of it.
Steel book?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Which I guess is going to be packed into a larger sword case box. It's just like a box with a sword imprinted on it for some reason.
Yes.
And this is basically
a
$135 bundle. Now, the interesting thing about this bundle is it comes with two copies of the game. All right, this is a game that's coming out on the PS4, the Nintendo Switch, and the Nintendo 3DS.
Uh-huh.
You want to take a guess as to which two copies of the game come inside this bundle?
Nintendo Switch and 3DS.
You're half right.
Okay.
The PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo 3DS copies.
Really?
Come in this bundle. Now, obviously, the PS4 is the HD, like, high-quality definition version of the game, full 3D. And the 3DS one, you can play it either as a low-res 3D game, or you can play it completely 8-bit style, which is kind of fun, which makes sense why you would have the two different versions in there. Play on the go and stuff like that. But it's interesting that it doesn't come with the Switch version. In fact, one of the big concerns that has a lot of people scratching their heads is that when they were talking about this, they didn't even mention a Switch version. Because usually, when the game comes out, it'll have like all the things it's coming out on, even if it's like a bundle for the PlayStation.
Of course, yeah.
It'll say coming out on Xbox and PC or whatever. So apparently this didn't have that Switch logo in there. Mm-hmm. And I know IGN, they reached out to Nintendo when this broke, and they asked them, hey, what's up with the Switch version? And Nintendo said no comment.
Just no comment.
Yeah, just no comment. So people don't know what's going on with this whole Switch version. Like, what? It's weird that should be the Switch version in that bundle.
So it hasn't even been confirmed, technically.
Well, they said it was going to come out on the Switch, but then now they're not mentioning it, which is kind of weird. I mean, Switch is out. It's not like it's a big secret anymore. Like,
right.
The game has its release date, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe they're having a problem with the Switch version? Maybe the Switch version is too identical to the 3DS version?
Right, with the whole, like, you know, grab-and-go playability, like, thing on the go and stuff like that. Maybe it's not even... I don't know. Maybe they're trying to sell more for 3DS as well. That could be a thing, too.
Like, I don't know if the Switch has the capability that the PS4 had with the Vita, being able to transfer your saves, and if you had a game on that could play on both, you can transfer your save and keep the game going. But if it did, it would make sense to, hey, get the Switch version... comes bundled with the 3DS version, play your save game anywhere.
That makes a lot more sense because they're both Nintendo as well. But, okay. That's surprising.
Yeah, it was a very interesting little tidbit. Just out of...
Are you excited for that game? 11.
Yes and no. I am excited because I do like a good traditional RPG. I feel like Dragon Quest series are good traditional RPGs. Mm-hmm. No, because I still haven't caught up and finished the rest of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I haven't. One of those series I got too terribly into. I think I played, like, one of the games.
Yeah, you got 8. I remember I was super jelly. I was like, oh, what is this RPG game coming out on the PlayStation 2?
Right. That was a while ago.
Yeah. Which apparently a lot of people really liked it, actually. It was the one that did a lot of first things. The one that really took a big step towards... bringing the franchise into a more modern feel. Because before that, it was still like, here's a picture of your enemy. Here's your sword attacks slashing the enemy.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. Whereas this one had like, oh, like, no, here's your characters fighting the enemy in 3D.
Yes, it was very forward-thinking, from what I remember. As opposed to the rest of the earlier franchise.
Yeah. But yeah, I got 7 and 8 for the 3DS. I beat 1 through 4. And those are all blasts. I mean, fun. 1 is, like, super... You can get that done, like, in a day, almost.
Oh, okay.
You're like, one player against the world, pretty much. It's not that bad. 3 is where it starts to get really, like, JRPG, like, okay.
Over grindy, the long.
Yeah, grindy. Really long. And, like, they're not games... I think, especially in those first 3... they weren't games that necessarily had, like, huge, crazy, overarching, like, storyline plots and stuff like that you see from Final Fantasy games, stuff like that. So the third one was super fun. Bit of a drag, a bit of a slog to get through all the way to the end, but I did it. But, yeah, they're just really fun games. I feel like on the gameplay mechanic, especially in comparison to the older ones, I kind of like them more than the Final Fantasies.
Right.
I feel like they're just a little bit more solid in the way they play, and, like, everything has a bit more weight behind it, I guess. There's not, like, wasted moves, it feels like. So if you're a big Final Fantasy fan, you should try out some Dragon Quest, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I might have to go back and dip in, then. Art style is definitely cool.
Oh, yeah. Out of Akira Toriyama.
That's the guy.
Remember, before we started, you wanted to talk about your day. I think you mentioned at the top of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, man, all right, guys, it's time. Time to shuffle on into Kurt's Corner.
Kurt's Corner!
Dee dee beep doo doo.
Yeah!
Dude, I knew waking up. I just didn't get good sleep, first of all. Guys, right off the bat, let's just... you know, get that out of the way.
Yeah. No sleep. No sleep, bad times.
Weird day yesterday, and then just kind of troublesome sleep. Got cold. I don't know. Just wasn't having it. But I knew I had to get up early, because not only did I have work at 11 this morning, but before that, I had a dentist appointment too. So I went in for a cleaning. Got that all done. Man, they really scrape the hell out of your teeth. It's crazy. I haven't been for a cleaning in probably way too long, like overdue.
Yeah.
I finally went in and got that done.
Yeah, how much is cleaning these days?
Well, I recently bought dental insurance, too, so that covered it to the point where, like, at least for your first year, you get 2 free cleanings. And you only go over, like, once every 6 months or so. So you get the first year, like, both of your cleanings out of the way. Otherwise, the copay through the dental insurance I have is like $15. Like, it's not expensive.
That's not bad.
And of course, the $10 office visit copay, so that's $25 overall.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I always like think about the dentist. I'm like, yeah, I got like $500 right now.
Yeah, seriously, man. Like, it's, well, here's the other thing too, is that I did that, you know, just today because it was suggested to me. The original reason it was even suggested to me to begin with was because I went a couple weeks back to actually get a tooth extracted because I had a super bad cavity and they couldn't save it and they just had to pull it because it was bothering me too much. And then, so that was like last week. I had like oral surgery done, $2,300 later.
What?
Sitting here, and I feel better about it. Like, I don't have a toothache anymore. And I don't have to worry about it. It is, yeah. But that's what happens, like, because they're now putting in like a temporary bridge between the tooth that was lost and the two connecting it. There was like small fillings put into the other two teeth that were connected to the extracted tooth because of like decay and stuff. I go back in 2 months for a full on, you know, prosthetic bridge that's going to be put in there. That's actually lifetime warranty. So that's cool. Yeah. So that makes sense that it's so expensive.
Now, you want to know something jacked up talking about dental stuff?
What's that?
So, as a kid, I got fillings put in my teeth.
Of course, me too. Yeah.
Right?
A bunch.
So, so Gail's telling me, you know, as a full-grown adult, she's like, oh, yeah, when'd you get your, how often do you get your fillings changed? I'm like, changed? What? Oh, you're supposed to get them changed out, like, as you're growing up, stuff like that. I'm like, you are? I don't know how messed up my teeth are now, yeah. Because I did not know. None of my parental figure said, oh, yeah, by the way, you're able to afford your own bills now. You should get those taken care of and switched out and stuff like that. I'm too scared to go to a doctor at this point.
Yeah, see, honestly, I didn't know that aspect of it either. And, like, I think they would have maybe mentioned that to me while I was there and stuff, too, but they didn't say a damn word. This place I go to, they're very, they seem just kind of fair. Like, they're not going to try to push you anything you don't want to do and stuff like that. Only what's, like, absolutely necessary, you know, to avoid any serious damage and stuff, which is...
Dude, you can't die. Like, it can kill you having, like, bad plaque.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets into your heart. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a serious thing. It really opened my eyes, too. And definitely for the past, like, couple months now, I've been taking extra good care of my teeth. I kind of always had. That's why I didn't go to the dentist for, like, easily, like, 7-8 years or whatever it was, because never got a toothache, never got a cavity. But it catches up to you also. And the past, like, you know, a few months or so, it got really bad. And then I just had to go.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, I went through all that the past week or so. Been losing sleep.
No, you ain't on those, like, painkillers for the surgery?
They actually didn't prescribe me anything. They just said, like, yeah, if it bugs you, you know, take some Advil or whatever. So I do that if I have to or whatever. But, yeah, I remember from when I was a kid getting, like, stuff done. I'm like, I think it's more like when you get, like, root canals, wisdom teeth pulled out. Things that where you actually have to go under and then give you, like, the gas and stuff.
Yeah.
In those cases, like, the pain is just astronomical and they gotta prescribe you some Vicodin or something. But not in my case. They just, like, juiced me up with a shit ton of Novocaine and my whole entire face was just numb. And they just went to town on my mouth and, like, yeah, I shaved the tooth down, extracted it. I didn't feel a damn thing the whole time.
Nice.
It's some wacky stuff, man. I haven't had something like that done in years, and it was an experience. So that's been my week. So
what was work like? How long did you have to take out?
Work today was just slow. I had some late straggler tables that kept me there well into like the 4 o'clock range. Didn't clock out till about 4:30. I knew I had to be here at 6, so I just stayed afterwards, you know, had a beer in the bar and scribbled down a few notes for the pod and stuff, and here I am, tired. But ready to continue, so let's get out of Kurt's Corner and go back to the topics, Dan. Let's get back to them.
Remedy Entertainment.
Okay.
This is the group that make Alan Wake and Quantum Break.
Okay.
This is the studio. They say that they're planning to put their next game on a wider range of platforms. Now, they've been exclusively pretty much Xbox and then, like, a port later on PC, right?
Right.
But according to this, that wider range also includes PS4.
Okay, cool.
So, come on, Xbox. You gotta give me a reason to buy your console. if the next Remedy Studio game is going to come out on my PS4, what the hell, man?
I mean, that's the telling factor right there, like you just mentioned, is... it just seems like Sony's really just kind of blazing the trail right now with gaining new IP and just expanding everything.
Yeah.
Making it harder to want to buy PC games, buy Xbox games, buy new consoles. It's really kind of just the elite system right now.
Yeah.
I've actually been thinking about upgrading to a Pro, too, just because, like, I want it.
I want that HDR TV.
I don't believe mine is. Maybe.
Yeah, like watching all this like video footage and like really makes me want to get a 4K TV so I can just see all the glory, even if
right.
I can't output to it. You know, whatever. I want it.
Yeah.
It's making me hungry for it.
It's so, all into me.
There's some Vita news that I found pretty interesting. As we all know, the Vita's been hacked, as the Nintendo Switch has been hacked.
Mm.
But the Vita's been hacked for longer, so people are starting to finally get actual running homebrew on the Vita software itself. Because before it was like through the emulator of the PSP.
Sure.
But now they're actually getting the Vita itself to run, and I think people are getting to the point where they can run Vita games off of ROMs illegally.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the problem with using the Vita as a as an everything box is that the proprietary memory cards are so damn expensive still. It's still $100 for 64 gigs of memory when you can go down, get a micro SD, spend like $20 to get the same amount, right? And so was one of the biggest problems that the Vita had as far as making sales is like, oh, cool, I can buy this Vita and spend another $100 on like a decent amount of memory just to hold my games. And some of these games, I mean, Killzone, when it came out, had a patch that was bigger than the 4GB memory card that came with the Vita. You could not play Killzone. This game, you went out and you bought this game, you could not play it until you pointed out some cash to buy a bigger memory card.
Hmm.
That's how big of a problem it was. So somebody, let me get his Twitter handle real quick, because I think this is actually very interesting.
Don't get him in trouble.
A long time coming. If he was going to get in trouble, he would have gotten in trouble already. I mean, he's been doing this for a couple of years. People have been talking about him in forums. Yeah, here we go. His Twitter handle is @richdevx. He's been working on the holy grail of the Vita. He's been working on an adapter for micro SD cards to work on the Vita memory.
Oh, okay.
I mean, once that happens, I'm buying another Vita and turning it into an everything machine. Because you can do it with the PSTV, too. The PSTV and the Vita share the same hardware infrastructure, or software infrastructure. So people have been buying Vita TVs for like $50, throwing all their emulators on there.
Gotcha.
And it plays right off your TV. I want that on the go. I want that on my beautiful OLED screen. Anywhere I want, play that original Zelda.
Hell yeah.
And all those glorious 8 colors.
Vibrant as ever.
Super vibrant.
Is it 8 colors? Yeah,
8-bit. That's bits.
Mm.
Yeah, 8 colors. Whatever.
Well.
But, I guess, I don't know how long he's been working on, like 2 years, something like that, but, like, he's going out and, like, manufacturing these little, boards that will plug into the Vita thing, and then he can plug SD cards to kind of, like, use those boards to read how the data's transferring back and forth and stuff like that. And,
right.
It's getting pretty. He released a video that apparently was kind of like a proof of proof that it's working, that he's getting there, he's making progress on this thing, stuff like that. That's really exciting for me. Like, not necessarily I want to hack a Vita per se, or I want to hack my Vita, but I'd love to just buy like $20 and get like 128 gigs of memory or something like that, you know, and not spend $100 to get 64.
Right. Exactly. Opening up new alleyways.
Yeah.
Finding ways to easier access.
Just make it better. Mm-hmm. Apparently somebody's got GameCube games to run on a Samsung phone.
Really?
I'm interested in that. Only for Phantasy Star.
How is that possible?
Because phones are ridiculous these days.
Yeah.
There's a little picture of it. They got all the button layouts on the screen. It's a horrible way to play. Horrible way to play, but...
It is.
But it's running. And that's...
Wow. I can't believe it, man.
so you can play your Wind Waker on the go.
Your Luigi's Mansion when you're riding the bus.
I think it's time for the Encore Gamers question of the week.
Encore Gamers question of the week.
Dude, I need you to make jingles, and I will add jingles to the podcast. Just bust them out. So, the question of the week. What? God damn it. Why do I always hit the wrong button? Here we go.
He's nervous.
What game series do you feel needs to be put into a collection for modern day usage? It's interesting that I came up with this question like a day before I found out you got the Kingdom Hearts collection.
Right. Yeah, I'd known about that since, geez, like last October or something, though. And that's been done before, honestly, like for PS3, yeah. I think came out and stuff, too.
I can go first.
Yeah, you can definitely go first.
Well, actually, let me see if we got any responses real quick. So, Solo831 writes in, he says, Mega Man Legends. So, I think it's only been like two or three of them or something like that, but I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed those games, actually.
I assume that would include the Trombon game, too, because there was Mega Man Legends 1 and 2, and then there was Trombon Adventures. I would include that in the collection, because it's all in the same universe, the same aesthetics. And let me check the Facebook real quick.
All right.
Give you a little bit more time to think about that before I go into it. Da-da. The quietest part of the podcast. All right, nothing on the Facebooks.
Nothing on the Facebooks.
All right. So my idea for the collection would be FromSoft, because FromSoft's hot right now. And this would be kind of like you can have the original version and a remastered version that makes it the mechanics a little bit easier for our modern sensibilities, right? Because the collection I'm thinking about, the mechanics are probably the biggest thing preventing people from going back and playing these games. And that would be the Kingsfield games. FromSoft's infamous Kingsfield series, first-person dungeon crawling. Because I think it's a very, for a historical sense, especially for Souls lovers and stuff like that, to be able to see like where a lot of the concepts and conceits of the Souls games that they love, stuff like that, came from before it became Souls. You know, where each weapon handles differently and has different weights and tributes and stuff like that. Shields. But you didn't actually use a shield back then. It was just armor class and stuff like that. But I think like they can come out. You just play a regular vanilla old PlayStation 1 style. There's three or four games. I think there's three games in Kingsfield. There's a Japanese one that never officially got released in the U.S. Kingsfield 2, which is our one, and Kingsfield 3, which I think came out on the PS2. I think it's the Lost City or something like that. And then they released Shadow Tower, which is a similar game, which is a different franchise. I think that's would be a good time to release that now, because people are still all in love with the From Software, Dark Souls, and stuff like that. And you take it, you modernize it, so like you can tell if your weapon's going to hit them before you swing it or something like that. Or it's easier to tell, because that's watching people play it. I've watched a couple like full Let's Plays of these games. And you just kind of have to know if your weapon's going to hit them, if you're close enough. And it's very clunky and glidey and stuff like that. And also, like, they can do the remaster version. They can also include a VR mode into that. Because the game's already all first person.
Right.
I think that would be... I think people will eat that up right now. Like, From Software? Oh, like, the birthplace of, like, most of the decent amount of the Souls, like, conventions and, like, ideas and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. That's a great answer. Especially, it's because it's something that I would definitely want to buy and play, because Kingsfield is something I never actually got to play, but have seen, you know, gameplay footage of it, have seen people play it, and it just looks like it's up my alley, so yeah. I think it'd be a good collection to have for the PS4, or what have you. I was thinking a little bit while you were answering and looking up answers and stuff. For some reason, weirdly, strangely, out of nowhere, what came to my head? The Tony Hawk's Pro Skater franchise. A collection of that. If it hasn't already been made, which I don't think it has been.
I don't think so, no. No, I think they just kept coming out with new games.
But man, I remember having just a ton of fun with that when I was younger. And it's just, to me, collections mean, you know, not only an amalgamation of something that was a good franchise, but also it's a nostalgia factor, too. Like, right. Bringing back, like, this Kingdom Hearts thing we were just talking about. Like, that's a huge, like...
nostalgia factor for watching me. You play that game.
And when like... I was thinking about it right now, thinking like, what did I used to play on? What did I love? Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was one of those things I just couldn't get enough of when I was, you know, 11 years old or whatever when they came out and stuff. And I think it'd be a cool little thing to own, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's quick play. You just throw it on, have some fun with it. They could obviously add new like modes, update the graphics, update the soundtrack.
Oh yeah,
because the soundtrack was a huge part of it. Or keep the same soundtrack, but also have like maybe trophies or like unlockables where you like, oh, unlock more songs by these same bands from that game that but newer songs of theirs.
That'd be interesting.
Or just alternate sound. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Like they could do a lot of really cool things with it. Add new skaters in, because this whole like new street league thing is like huge like in the skating world. It's always like really like new like awesome skaters that people are really into. So just the possibilities are endless, honestly, and it feels like it would sell very well too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that'd probably be my answer.
Yeah, another one actually just coming to the top of my head that I'm surprised hasn't happened. Well, I guess I can't be surprised that hasn't happened, but like, the thing that sparked this question was I was reading a little article, I think on Destructor or Kotaku. There were people were kind of going through their picks, and somebody was like, "Oh, Castlevania, why hasn't Castlevania happened?"
See, that was my second guess, too. Yeah. I thought maybe it had been done already, so I didn't want to answer that.
There's been, like, 1 to 2 game collections, I think.
Oh, okay.
Like, kind of, or remakes where they kind of smashed them together or something like that, but never, like, a real collection. And one of them was, like, the Mega Man X series and stuff like that.
Right.
But why not a Metroid or a Zelda? I guess there was the Metroid Prime collection, but, like, the original Metroids with the Game Boy Advance games or, like, the old school Zeldas, the top down Zeldas, like,
right?
Why haven't you done that yet, Nintendo?
Because they're making enough money off just reselling the same single games.
Yeah, that's why I was like, why haven't they? Nintendo.
That's pretty much your answer. Well, Nintendo.
Well, Nintendo. Looks like we got a late response here from the Riddle Master, right in to say, missed all the games and books in the lovely box set that looks like a set of books.
books and books.
Again, they should put those in VR.
And a steel case that looks like a bookshelf.
Autographed by the creators of the game.
Went all the way down there, met the guy, forgot to bring my books.
Apparently somebody's bringing back Tamagotchis. That is the thing.
Really? I could see that. Yeah, I could see that catching on again.
You gonna pick one up again?
No. I'm not a 13-year-old little girl. To be honest, I actually never even had one. Like, a friend of mine had one.
Wow.
And I borrowed one, I think, one time from a friend. It was, like, the Pikachu one. I was like, oh, can I borrow one and take care of it for a day? And they were like, okay. They let me. And I, like, screwed it up and then, like, gave it back. And I never wanted anything to do with it again because I was so goddamn embarrassed.
There's only 2 buttons on this, Curtis.
I just didn't pay attention to it enough, I guess. It requires a lot of attention, apparently.
They really do.
It's surprising.
Like, I understand now why teachers get so mad at these things. I had no concept before I actually, like, dove into one. It's like, how needy they are, like, throughout the entire day. It's like, no, go to sleep. Oh, you're up 15 minutes later? No, go back to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a cool concept. I thought it was, it's very appealing, you know, especially for, like, the younger kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's this, you know, whole pet concept digitally, like, kind of transformed. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it could be beneficial, honestly, to just, like, you know, if you want to get a pet, like, here, get a Tamagotchi first and see how you, like, are able to perform with that and, like, you know, daily tasks, just staying on, like, priority and, excuse me, routine and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also just like one of these things where it's like, just let it die, man. That was the 90s. Just let it die. Let it go.
it's a phone app now. You don't have to keep coming out with these things.
Tamagotchi on Apple Store. Just get into it.
So, is there any question you have for this week?
Oh, man. I might be too tired to be put on the spot for this one right now.
I can go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My brain is just dead at this point.
No, it's fine, it's fine. The question is going to be, what game as I type this out. What game have you seen someone beat that bugs you? Essentially, what game have you seen somebody beat and like bugs you that you haven't beat that game yet?
Right. You're envious over the fact that a friend of yours beat a game before you
did. Like, maybe your brother beat it, and you're like, right. You're like, oh, I'm going to beat that game too, and just never got around to it, or it was just beyond your skill. Mm-hmm. And even more so now with, like, the internet, with the YouTube and stuff like that, but, like,
sure.
In my mentality, it'd probably be, like, a friend or a sibling or something like that, and they beat that game, it's kind of like, ah, why did I never beat that game?
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I think we can all relate to that at some point. Because sometimes, you know, maybe it's not even necessarily a thing where, like, you know, you didn't have the patience to do it or, like, the know-how or the skill, but maybe it's because it's a game that you rented from Blockbuster back in the day and, like, you didn't have enough time to actually do it and you didn't have the money to re-rent it or, you
know what I mean? Or your save file got corrupted.
Or the save file, yeah, or you lost a memory card or something like that. That's I remember that happening quite a bit in the past, actually. Especially because I had a few friends that were just so damn good at, like, every game they ever played that...
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, so annoying.
It is. It's frustrating. I'll have to give that one a think and answer on the social medias.
On the socials. Alright, everybody, that was episode
133. 133, awesome.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for chiming in with your responses to our questions. If you would like to help us grow this podcast, go ahead and share it with your friends on all your social medias. Go bug Future Flicks, tell him that he should be on the podcast, and that he should be on the podcast more often, possibly get us some sponsorship, just saying, you know, just putting that out there, you know, Future Flicks, plug yeah, and...
Name drops, Bill Cass, Future Flicks, signing out, Uncork Gamers 133, I'm Kurt.
I'm Dan.
See you guys later.